Young people, junior church, you can go over. Mrs. Sargent's waiting for you. Amen. Well, a little bit of time we have remaining. Take your Bible with me, if you will, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I can already tell you this is going to be a two-parter. Amen? Unless you want to stay till 2. Any takers? No? No? Oh, I had one. Had one taker. There is hope. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, let's look for time's sake. I would encourage you to read verse 1 through 16 at your first opportunity when you get a chance to do that, perhaps tonight. Take a look at that. We're going to read verse number 16 together. Paul writes, under inspiration of the gospel, under inspiration of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Did you see that? For woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, in Jeremiah chapter number 7, there are two verses I want to share with you. The Bible says, Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord. All ye of Judah, we're not going to add or take away from God's word, but here's the message. All ye of South Swansea Baptist Church, can we insert that there? Can we apply that there? We certainly can. Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. I'd like to talk to you for a few moments this morning, in part, our subject this morning, the theological foundations for proclamation. The theological foundations for proclamation. Sounds like a mouthful. I want to share it with you just briefly. Gracious Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to hearts today as your word goes forth in this place. Father, my heart has been blessed. I thank you, Lord, for our congregational singing. We thank you for the Galileans and their special music to us, Lord. We thank you how it's a blessing to receive the message and music. And Father, we thank you for the testimony of what we've seen this morning on the videos with the project at 1269 Cafe with Brother Gonzalo, his wife Penny. Lord, that you would just continue to work through them mightily. Thank you, Father, for the assistance, if you will, or for the aid or for the help that you've allowed us in some small way as a church to be able to go there on a couple of trips and helping them. Thank you, Lord, for our young people and leaders that just made this latest trip up there. And Father, thank you for what we've seen and what we've heard this morning in both services, the testimonies. Thank you for Brother Bradley's testimony this morning, Lord, for our young people. God, I pray that you would just always keep our availability to you afresh and anew every day. Help us to be useful at your hand, Lord, doing works of good and kindness for the purpose of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. We pray now as we look at your word and your word peers into our lives that you might speak to our hearts this morning. Father, it's my main thought today that if there be anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, that you would save them. God, I can't even think about going into a Christless eternity. Father, I think about our sign out there this morning, eternity, are you prepared? Father, that's what it's all about. Not only do we have a responsibility of feeding the household of faith, but we have a responsibility as a household of faith to go out and continually communicate the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for their sin, that he was buried and rose again the third day, just as he said, and that through this Any man who be in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God, speak to us today and challenge us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate. Stand in the gate at the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. What do you do? Proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, all ye of South Swansea Baptist Church. Hear ye the way of the Lord that enter in these gates to worship the Lord. You know, the thought came to me that whether Jeremiah is calling people back or Paul's preaching the truths of Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel of Christ, the sharing of God's word is done with certainty. And the sharing of God's word is done with unwavering authority. Now, there is a common foundation as we read through the word of God. There is a common foundation as we recognize our responsibility as Christians, that is, Christ followers, as believers in Jesus Christ, sin forgiven, heaven our home. There is a common foundation undergirding and prompting this proclamation. You do not have to read the Word of God for very long to realize that as the early Christians went everywhere proclaiming the gospel, you begin to notice some things about the ministry that God had called them to. And what I do is I get into the passage and I see what they're doing, and then some questions begin coming up in my mind. Questions like this: what imparted such authority to their message in the face of all types of adversity and in the times of all kinds of afflictions? What compelled them to proclaim the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, not just one time and then go their way, but what encouraged them? What compelled them to proclaim this word time and time again, over and over and over again, wherever they traveled? What compelled them to proclaim the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Upon what foundation this morning? Upon what foundation do we find a sure footing as we proclaim the gospel to a world flooded with lost souls? Well, the thought that comes to me out of these questions and out of these passages and others, it is the foundation of great and abiding theological truth that time and eternity shall never change. There's our undergirding. There's our footing. There's where we boldly stand and boldly proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, there's a few thoughts I'd like to share with you along this subject this morning, but based on our time, we're going to share with you one. Number one, what is the foundation of great abiding theological truth? Number one, the unchanging authority of the Word of God. That's where it begins. Amen? Oh, that's bad. That's bad. Amen? Amen. There you go. I got my cheat sheet with me this morning, just in case. Ruth, did you see that okay? All right. I got the seal of approval. All right. So, what are the underpinnings? What is it? The foundation of great abiding theological truth. We have to start here. The unchanging authority of God's word. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said this: go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, or even until the end of the age. Now, I know in a group this size, and I know amongst the family of faith, the body of Christ, those of us who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I know that if I was to say to you, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 is also known as the what? Great Commission. All right, so we know that verse. We say, well, I know it. That's known as the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. I'm to go out and win people to the Lord, see them baptized. I am to teach them to observe all things and so forth, see them unite with the church, see them reproduce themselves. Yes, that's the Great Commission. But here's the issue. Here's the problem that comes. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is like a Romans 5, 8. It's like a John 3, 16. It's like a Romans 10, 9. It's like a Titus 3, 5. You know, it's one of these verses. It's like a Psalm 23, 1. It's one of these verses that when we were a little shaver, a little child in Sunday school, we learned that verse. We heard that taught. We committed it to memory. And now, I've been in services, and thank God, not here. If it's happened here, don't tell me, all right? La, 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 la. I don't want to know, okay? But I've been in places where I've been asked to speak, and I've said, folks, take your Bible and open up to John 3:16. And hardly a Bible gets cracked. Do you know why? What do? I know that verse. I know it. Can I say to you, we have to be careful, even in our Christian circles and in our churches, familiarity can breed a contempt. We just say, well, I know that. I don't have to crack the verse. Or sometimes I'll be reading the Bible, and I have said this here. Don't look at me when we're reading the Bible. Look at the Bible. Why? The Bible's much more handsome than I am. All right? Look at the Bible. Take in God's word. I want you to hear it. I want you to see it, and I want you to even whisper it out under your breath. Why? Because of the authority of the Word of God. I would have nothing to say to you this morning if it wasn't for the authority, standing on the authority of the Word of God. I could not talk about the theological foundations of proclamation except we first note the authority of the Word of God. Now, here it is. Even in the Great Commission, Jesus said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now here it is, teaching them to observe all things. Remember the rest? Whatsoever I have commanded you. There is the authority. There is the truth that you need not just say, well, I can quote that verse in memory. I don't have to crack the word. No, you need to crack the word. You need to open the word. You need to read the word. You need to study the word. You need to share the word. Why? Because Jesus commanded us to do so. And notice he says, not only does he command us, but he goes on to say, and lo, I am with you always. He's not like the employer that says, okay, look, you're the new guy on the block here. And once you go out there, that's your job. This is what, and you say, okay, yep, job description, time to start, time for break, time to end, people to meet. Oh, you'll be okay. Just go out there. It'll come to you. That doesn't work. It doesn't work when we talk about sharing the gospel or living out our faith. Why? Because we need to know, not only does Jesus command us to go, but he said, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And I like that. Amen? I need to know that he's... Oh, boy, that was a bad one, too. Amen? Amen. All right, you're going to get it down by the time you leave this place this morning. You've got to get it down. So, here it is. Changing times. We live in them. Changing emphasis, we live in them. Changing interest, we live in them. Unfortunately, changing theologies, we live in them. But let me just say this to you. On the basis of what we just read now in Matthew 28, and on the basis of theological foundation for proclamation, all right? In spite of the changing times and the changing emphasis and the changing interests and even the changing theologies, these changes have not and cannot and will not change the authoritative command of the Word of God. Amen? Can't do it. Can't do it and should not be allowed and should not be permitted to happen. It still stands as the theological foundation for proclamation. Sunday school, we sang the song as a child. We still sing it today. Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know, class? For the Bible tells me so. Do you get that? Very simple. Very simple song. It's a child song. Jesus said that we need to come to him in childlike faith. Suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such are the kingdom of heaven. Childlike faith. Why? A child believes everything. When my children were little, I mean, I'd go walking through the house like this, and if you were to ask my children, their daddy was the biggest and the strongest, and there wasn't a thing that he couldn't do. Well, they believed that then. They've now lived in the world of reality, right? But I was I'll tell you, that's a childlike faith. My daddy's the biggest, the strongest. My daddy's the smartest. My daddy can do. Well, you know what? We have a God who's Abba Father. We have a God who's our daddy. And guess what? He is the biggest and the strongest. Amen? And there is not a thing that God is not able to do. Do we say that anymore? Do we proclaim it anymore? Maybe that's part of the problem with 4,000 Bible churches being closed every year and 2,000 new ones are starting up, giving us a 2,000 church deficit. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe the problem goes back to the Pentateuch and the five books of Moses. Remember one of those books by the name of Deuteronomy? There's a message in there that you and I, we're to rehearse, we are to share with our children the wonderful workings of God all through our life and all through theirs. Why have we stopped? Do you talk with your children? Do you sit down with your grandchildren? Do you tell them about how God has answered your prayer? Do you tell them how God has brought miracles into your life? Do you tell them how God has done things that only God can do and how he has blessed your family? And do you gather them around at times? And you don't have to go into the detail on the detail on the detail. But do you join with them when you say, you know what, there's something that mommy and daddy really need God to do. We have a situation. We need to turn to God. Let's join hands. You say, yeah, but they're just little. Exactly. You just made my point. Because when they're just little and you develop that, it's called training, by the way. When it's little and you train them as they grow up, guess what? They learn from the training in youth, and they take that into their adulthood, and then they in turn turn around and they train their children. Gee, it sounds an awful lot like God talked about in Deuteronomy, what we're supposed to be doing about God's working in our lives. That falls right in line with the unchanging authority of God's Word, the Great Commission, going out, winning, baptizing, teaching. Why? Because we have been commanded to do so. God's Word makes proclamation mandatory. You say, well, preacher, you are a preacher. You've been to school, you've been to study, you pastor. I thought that's your job. Well, Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, John 20:21, even so send I you. Was that a message just to the pastor, just to the missionary? That was a message to his people. His people. All they that name the name of Christ. This is what he said. And as a result of this, he stated that as he has received a mandate, by the way, the term mandate is command. Jesus said to us in Matthew 28, whatsoever things I commanded you, or whatsoever things I mandate to you. Okay, this is what we're to do. Jesus stated as he received a mandate from his Father, so he hands the mandate to us. Now, there's a couple things we learn from this, and we're not really going to be able to expand on them a little bit because we have to finish up, but we learn from this a couple things. One, because of the clarity of the Bible's teaching, proclamation is mandatory. Proclamation is mandatory. While there may be some things in the Bible that are not clear to our understanding, this is not, the command to be a witness is not one of them. Jesus, we see the promotion of this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The passage says, ye shall be my witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Who's that written to? Who is that written to? That's written to all of us who name the name of Christ. Ye is the old English word. It's as if Dr. Luke wrote, you all, like he was from the southern part of the country. Y'all. Y'all be witnesses here. He's saying, ye shall be my witness. So that's every single one of us gathered here this morning, part of the body of Christ in this place, the church of the living God. Every single one of us have been given the mandate, the command to be a witness to the gospel of Jesus. You can't look and say, they're more gifted than I am. They can do it better. I'm not going to do it. You can't look at the next person and say, well, that's really their job. They're called to be a teacher. I'm really not. You can't look at it and say, well, that person, they've got all the tools. I don't. That's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say that you be my witnesses unless you're not as gifted. You be my witnesses unless you don't have all the tools. You be my witnesses. Listen, did you get that on the presentation this morning? Here's a homeless man writing poetry to be a witness. And we can't? We can't? You see, Jesus said, I have commanded you. It's a mandate. And because of the clarity of the Bible's teaching, ye shall be witnesses. How hard is that to understand? I got it. Do we have it? Second thing, because of the responsibility that the Bible places on us, proclamation becomes mandatory. Responsibility is ours to proclaim God's truth could not be more clearly seen than in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 6 says, but if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, his sin, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Guess what? Who's the watchman? We are. We are watchmen. You, sir, are a watchman in your home for God. That's where this ministry begins, by the way. It starts in our home. You know, because sometimes we can get all fired up. And I have preacher friends. I went to school with fellas who their dads were pastors and pastored large churches and so forth. And their dads were out. Their dads were so busy going out and winning the world that they forgot they had a family at home. And while they're winning the world, their children are dying and going to hell. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. Where does it begin? Your home. Right where you live. That's your first ministry, Dad. That's your first ministry, Mom. Your home. And then from your home, it's outside your neighborhood. And from your neighborhood, it's to your community. It's to your town and to the commonwealth or to your state and then to the country and then to the world. But it starts in your home. And you know what? We can back up the starting point even earlier than that. You know where the ministry of sharing the gospel begins? Right in your own heart. Right in your own heart. You have to have received the gospel of Jesus Christ to give the gospel of Jesus. You can't give what you don't have, amen? You can't give what you don't possess. And so because of the clarity of the Bible's teaching, proclamation is mandated. Because of the responsibility the Bible places on us, proclamation is mandated. Something else I like, and we'll have to wrap up here, is how the unchanging authority of God's word assures us of success. The unchanging authority of God's word assures us. Remember Psalm 126:6? He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what that tells me? There is hope. You know what that tells me? I may have to witness or share my faith with 10 people to really get into a conversation with just one. But that one is just as important to God as that 10. Amen? I need to get out there. We need to get out there. In our life, in our circle of influence, living the faith that we say we believe. sharing the faith that has been imparted unto us. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. I love it. You go forth weeping, you come back rejoicing. You go out there weeping that there's a lost and dying world. You go out there weeping that you have unsaved loved ones and friends. You take the gospel. The gospel is received. You come back rejoicing. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Once they were bound for a Christless eternity, and today they have a home in heaven. Thank you, God. Now, let me also just say this to you real quick, that it is not because of us, by any means, but it's because of the power of God's word that this success is promised. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believe it, to the Jew first, also to the Greek." It's because of the word of God. I'm so grateful that somebody shared the word of God with me. I'm so grateful that after the first time they shared it, I said, "Get it out of my face!" It came back another time. And then when the same person tried another time, I punched them away from me. I'm so glad that the third time somebody presented the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God said, "You know what? First time you yelled at them and called them bad names, and the second time you physically abused them, you punched them and pushed them away. Not this time, Bob. This time you're going to give me a listen." And I sat and I listened. And Jesus Christ saved my sin-sick soul to his honor and glory. And I'm so grateful. What was the success? The success was because of the power of God's word. The success is because of the purpose of God's will. We're assured of success. The Bible says this to us, 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but we recognize he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It's not my job. And it's not your job. It's not our job as believers to look and say, well, this one should be saved, and this one shouldn't, and this one should be saved, and that one shouldn't, and this one should. That's not our job. God's never given us that call. The call he has given us is it's girded here by the theological foundations for proclamation. The job he has given to us is to share the gospel. We share the gospel. We live the gospel. We stand on the unchanging, unwavering authority of the Word of God. That's the start of our theological foundation for proclamation. But make no mistake about it. Every man that knows Jesus Christ in this room, every woman that knows Jesus Christ in this room, every young person, God has placed it upon us from his word to you today that we are to be sharing the gospel. We're to be proclaiming. You say, "Well, let me think about it for a while." You've been commanded, sir. Let me think about it for a while. Ma'am, it's a mandate upon you. Let me think about it for a while. I do not, for one, want to stand up before our Father in heaven one day at what's called the judgment seat of Christ, also known as the Bema seat. I do not want to stand up there one day and have the Lord say to me, "Brother Sergeant, why didn't you do a little more proclaiming of the gospel?" "Well, you know, God, it wasn't a real convenient season for me at that time. You know, God, some of the people, well, you know, they didn't look right, didn't smell right. Some of them were a little too ritzy for me. You know, God. Doesn't hold weight. God didn't offer up a suggestion. He gave us a command. Wouldn't it be better to be obedient to a loving Heavenly Father than to just struggle the rest of life? Should I or shouldn't I? Could I or can't I? How about just saying, God, you said it, and that settles it. It was a bumper sticker on the back of the automobile. I saw it one time. You've seen it before. God said it, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You remember that one? I'd like to erase part of that. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Do you believe He's commanded you? It's in the written word. Do you believe He's given you a mandate? It's right there. How about we just do what God has told us to do? I'm so grateful that God told somebody else and they listened to God because I became the benefactor. Sin forgiven and heaven my home. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. That's what you need today. Let's bow our heads.